So, teased it going into the break, and we'll talk about it again right here. Oil prices could reach uncharted waters, if the Israel-Hamas war escalates. This, according to the World Bank. Well, let's see how this is going to affect us here at home. Joining us now, Dr. Greg Upton from LSU. Dr. Upton, good morning. Welcome aboard. Welcome back. How are you, man?
Morning, Brian. Doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. So I saw the story from the Associated Press, and immediately was like, what impacts are these going to will this have? And then when I started thinking about it, I'm like, this is more than just Israel and Hamas. There are numerous conflicts around the world that are going to cause strains. So what are we looking at right now, starting with Israel and Hamas and the effects home on our energy front?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, a lot of these geopolitical conflicts can, of course, impact these global energy markets. And, you know, to kind of go back to the Russian invasion of Ukraine and then kind of juxtapose it to this most recent invasion of Israel by Hamas. So think back to February of 2022. You had oil and natural gas prices were both kind of going up because demand was coming back post-pandemic. Russia is the second largest producer of natural gas globally and the third largest producer of oil. And so when they invaded Ukraine and you had all these countries all over the world, including the United States, implement sanctions, of course, this had an enormous impact on these global markets. We saw oil prices, you know, really skyrocket pretty quickly there. Natural gas prices increased. And you can probably remember last summer, there were tons of news stories, not only about the gasoline prices, but also about our electricity prices here in the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
I mean, there were instances of people's electricity bills literally doubling. And for Europe, it was even worse. I mean, Europe had enormous implications of that. So that was kind of the largest shock someone could imagine. So now let's fast forward what we've seen this last year. It's been incredible to see how quickly markets have adjusted. We've had oil prices come back down, back to these kind of like long-term inflation-adjusted trends. Natural gas prices are actually less expensive than they were before that Russian invasion of Ukraine here in the Gulf Coast. And so, you know, fast forward to – that's kind of a – you know, gives you the upper bound of what could happen. But you fast forward to October 7th of this year, just a month ago, whenever Hamas invaded the Gaza Strip in Israel. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the prices of oil that were trading that month, that Friday before that invasion occurred, and then the Monday after it was a Saturday, prices move by about $3 to $3.50 a barrel. So that's a little bit of a movement. If you look at what futures markets were trading a year out, and that's what I really like looking at, because what it tells you is what are traders thinking the kind of longer-term effects are this going to be? And the effect was maybe $2 a barrel. So to put that in kind of context for your average viewer, you're talking maybe 10 to 15 cents a gallon in terms of the short-term impact on gasoline prices here in the Gulf Coast. So not nearly as large as the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Okay. Is that surprising?
Is that surprising?
Yeah. Is that surprising?
No, not at all, actually.
Okay.
And the reason is there's just not a lot of oil, I mean, really not a lot of oil production at all within the area of the conflict. You know, you're right there next to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the second largest producer of oil globally, the third largest of natural gas. But again, Saudi Arabia is, I mean, they're used to these geopolitical conflicts. They're right there in the Middle East. You've got Iraq and Iran there, again, big producers. But unless this really spreads out and creates a lot of conflict in the Middle East, I just wouldn't anticipate it to have big impacts. Now, of course, if this spreads throughout the Middle East, that could be a very, very different story. But, you know, that's a big if.
We're talking with Dr. Greg Upton from LSU's Center for Energy Studies. Greg, let's go back to the Russia and Ukraine war here, because that was not gone away yet. Without an end in sight for that, and as prolonged as that one has been, even still, we're seeing gas prices, the price at the pump, and I know there's more to it than just the price at the pump, but it's what's in front of our eyes every day. Even where it's at, we're still not, like, completely blown out of the water yet as far as what we saw during the pandemic, what we saw in recent years. Do we feel like there's a good foothold that this, where we are now, is where we're going to be?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. So let me give you a little bit of historical context, going back even further to kind of put this into the big picture. You know, if you go back to the 1980s, which is when the U.S. kind of had its quote-unquote peak production, where, you know, U.S. oil production started declining. And what you had is you had more and more production, a share of that production coming from the Middle East, from these OPEC countries, and the U.S.'s share was declining over that time period. And interestingly, you go through the late 1980s, through the 1990s, the price of oil and therefore the price of gasoline on an inflation-adjusted basis was actually pretty low and actually wasn't very volatile at all. Then you had the September 11th, the wars in the Middle East, and what this did is it led to an enormous increase, not only in the price of oil, but also the volatility. So you can remember those 2000s where, you know, there were just stories all the time of these really large swings in the price of gasoline. And what this did, because prices were high, it sent an economic incentive to producers all over the world to figure out how to produce more oil. And that's exactly what happened. So we had technological advancements in extracting oil from these shale geological formations using horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing. You might hear people say the fracking revolution kind of informally.
Yeah.
And what that did in 2009, oil production in the United States started to increase after almost a half a century of declines. And today, the U.S. is actually the largest oil producer in the world, and we're consistently hitting record oil production. And so what's happened since that price crash that happened in 2014 that a lot of people remember, we're kind of back in this era of the 1980s and 1990s again of relatively low prices and relatively low volatility of prices. And so, of course, we had those two enormous shocks. We had the pandemic, which you and I had talked about, negative prices, you know, a few years ago. Then you had the Russian invasion of Ukraine. But you think about the size of those shocks. And the fact that, markets are still in balance today, it's really kind of incredible to see how resilient that system has been.
Talking with Greg Upton about the what the effects of the different conflicts around the world could have on energy prices back home, more specifically oil and gas prices back home. Greg, I had sent you an article from the Associated Press about the World Bank exploring a number of different simulations, if you will. And from the article, it says the World Bank's chief economist said Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Wait, I'm sorry. I passed up a paragraph. Okay. In a large disruption scenario comparable to the Arab oil embargo of 1973, the global oil supply would shrink by 6 to 8 million barrels per day, and prices could go up by 56 to 75% or to $140 to $157 a barrel, according to the report. How likely is that quote unquote large disruption scenario?
In my opinion, it's low.
Yeah.
So in that report you had sent, there were three scenarios.
Yes.
The baseline scenario was actually that oil prices would decline over the next year. Okay.
Yes.
And then the second scenario, which was that this conflict in the Middle East kind of expanded, that was that oil prices were going to go up kind of modestly over the next year. And then it was kind of that third scenario that you're talking about. That you know, it increased precipitously. I would kind of say that the probability of those scenarios would probably go in that order, where the most likely one is what we're seeing today, which is that, you know, prices have moved a little bit, a few dollars a barrel. Yeah, it'll impact global markets, but the markets will adjust. A little bit lower probability is that it's going to expand and really impact those markets more. And kind of the Armageddon kind of scenario, which of course a lot of these scenarios like to do. And it's useful to consider that kind of worst case scenario. But I would think that that's probably a worst case scenario for sure. And that's definitely not what markets are trading on today of anticipating here in a year from now.
I mean, the headline doesn't help.
Yeah, a lot of times those headlines, they focus on, you know, and look, researchers do this for a reason.
Yes.
They consider different scenarios and they say, okay, what's the baseline and then what's kind of a worst case? And what you see oftentimes is that the headline will only report on the worst case scenario, which perhaps isn't a projection of what will happen, but is, you know, just that, a worst case scenario of what could happen.
Yeah, exactly. Not what will.
Not that it couldn't. It could.
Well, it's just when I see the headline that says the sky is falling, I tend to call somebody who's going to tell me better, and that's what got me on the phone with you in the first place. So we always appreciate the update. He's Dr. Greg Upton from LSU. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks so much.
Take care, Brian.